That's it. Obey. If I just follow the rules, then that's the key. I mean, if I just check the little boxes in life, those little boxes of Christianity, then that's the key. Some of you grew up in a Christianity like that. Grew up in a Christianity that said you had to walk and talk and dress a certain way if you wanted to be right with God. A checklist mentality. And what we do, if we live like that, as we reduce obedience to a tool that we use to get the love and the joy and the fellowship of God. If I do this, it goes something like this. If we obey God, then we're showing Him we love Him, right? Because it says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And then guess what? He'll bless us. He has to bless us. Because I checked all the boxes in my life. What God is teaching us by application in these first 8 chapters is not a checklist. Now, don't overreact and think, you're saying we can do whatever we want, however we want. No, 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 no. We should have lives of holiness. As I told you, that messages on holiness are coming. But what God is teaching us here is He's pointing to the heart. That's the purpose of all these intricate details. The purpose of all these sacrifices and rituals that we've studied. It was not about a checklist that if they jumped through the hoops and they did this and they did that, they checked their proverbial boxes as Israelites. It wasn't about that. It was always about trusting God. That there was no way that they could secure their own blessing. We would say self-righteous. It was only through trusting in God's way. This trusting in God revealed their heart. A heart that wanted to secure God's favor, his or her own way, would not have obeyed completely. Oh God, I'll do this. I'll offer these sacrifices and I'll do this. But then I'm going to do this on top of that. Do we ever see an example of scripture like that? Yes. Cain and Abel. I want to have a right relationship with you, God, but I'm going to do it my own way. Take my offering. This is the best that I have. This is what I've done with my hands. That has been the problem since the beginning of time. We know better. We think we can righteous ourselves. We think we can do it. Doesn't show a heart of faith. Only a heart that is surrendered and trusting will obey completely. That's why David says in Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God, these are the sacrifices of God. A broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. Samuel reminds us in chapter 15 of his first recording. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he does obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. He wrote that in a culture that was surrounded by these sacrifices. And he said to the people, what you're doing, it's better to obey than to offer these sacrifices. That was always the point. My friends, it's the same for us today. Obedience, I like the way one pastor put it. Obedience comes from faith, and faith is a seeing and a savoring of the truth and the beauty and the worth of Jesus and the gospel. Therefore, faith is the root of all Christ-exalting obedience. In other words, obedience coming from the gift of faith is a voice that says, I abandon all other things because there's nothing better. There's no place that is more satisfying. There's no other person or thing where I can find my value and worth in life. There's nothing more beautiful than Jesus. And from this we obey. This heart we obey. And in turn, this wonderful and pure and truthful worship is what that is, breeds more obedience. Because our heart sees and knows and wants more of the all-satisfying Jesus. And you remember that phrase that we've read time and time again in these first 8 chapters? And this was a pleasing aroma to the Lord. My friend, you want to know what a pleasing aroma to the Lord is today? obedience out of faith. It's you trusting God. It's you being obedient to God. It's you following hard after God. You know, if we make the means of favor, to favor and fellowship with God, a checklist, you know what we do? Effectively, we turn obedience into a rule or a law that says we have done X and God owes us Y. And this, my friend, is nothing more than external performance. You want to know why my generation and many younger generations have, they call them the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, why they have left the church? Is because they grew up, not all, but many grew up thinking that the way to right relationship with God was checking these stinking boxes. And if I check the boxes, everything's going to be right with me. And you know what? They could never measure up. And if you can never measure up, if you're always behind, you don't want anything to do with that. And so they left. It was never about the way we looked or talked or dressed. It's not the issue. Now, again, don't hear me saying we can live like the devil. I'm not saying that. I'm addressing the other extreme right now. My friends, the pleasing aroma to the Lord is about a heart of faith, not a checklist. I mean, when would you ever know if you did good enough? And then you see, you see Nick doing something and he does it better than you, and then you would think, oh, I don't do it as good as him. Now I got to do it. And now guess what? It's a competition. I don't know if you did enough. If you did it the right way, you can never measure up. You're going to check one box and feel really secure and safe, and then all of a sudden you'll see you fail at another box. And so when we get to these texts, friends, the blessings and the fellowship and the communion with God are not, listen to me, they're not really brought about by these sacrifices, by the checklist that they keep, but that comes from the communion and the fellowship. What God is after, it comes from a heart of faith that trusts that God is the only one who can make them right with himself. And so, therefore, they want to obey. Obedience from faith, from a heart of faith. That's what all of this is about. And so today, this morning, when after Bryce read 1 through 21, the whole chapter, but 1 through 21, what does that have to do with us? It has to do with us in obedience. How's obedience going for you? Have you made obedience a work? Or is it because you've seen and savored Jesus and you love him and you want to obey him? That's where obedience should come from. How's that going for you? The second thing that we see here in this text in the last few verses is glory. Number two, glory. Excuse me, verse 22 through verse 24. After the animals are offered, Aaron lifted up his hands, something that even we can do, somebody can naturally do when they're full of awe and joy, and he blesses, and Aaron blessed them. Now, this blessing that we read about here in these last few verses is not a power or a special effective spoken word out of Aaron's ability. Rather, the blessing is a prayer and of desire and a hope expressed by Aaron, but the source, finding its source in God. Aaron then comes down off of some sort of stairs from a position near the top of the 4.5-foot altar, the altar that they were offering these sacrifices on, about 4.5 foot tall. Aaron was up there a little bit higher, probably simply for the means of being able to communicate. That's why I'm higher right now. It's easier if I'm down on the floor right now, then not everybody could see or as well or hear as well. And so he comes down from this, and Moses and Aaron, after Aaron comes down, they go into the courtyard, from the courtyard into the tent of meeting. Speak with God, coming out with a celebrated blessing again for the people. And then notice here in this text some of the most amazing words in all of the book of Leviticus. At the end of verse 23, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the people. Huh. Amazing. We don't know exactly what they saw. Perhaps something in conjunction with the cloud that was associated with God's presence. We don't know for sure. But we do know that the glory that they saw must have been veiled, as it was for Moses. But this is what they saw. They saw the majesty of God displayed in some magnificent way. In some way, his splendor and his intrinsic and infinite beauty was disclosed to them. His holiness, that is, his uniqueness, his set apartness, was on display, and they were able to see it. And then what did they do? In conjunction with this great display, fire came out and instantly consumed the already lit and burning sacrifices. Remember, they were being obedient. And two or three other places it says that they had already started these fires as they were commanded to do. They had to keep the fire stoked. They lit the fire. But this fire comes out, and what does the fire do to this already started burnt sacrifice, these sacrifices? It completely consumes the sacrifice. All of this leads the people to falling down out of awe and shouting. Now, the word shouted here is a word used to convey joy. We don't see that in our English. I think most of the time when we read that they fell and they shouted, we think that they fell out of fear and shouted out of fear. But actually the word that is used is a word for joy. They fell down out of awe and they were full of joy. Joy because Moses and Aaron had come out of the tent and the fire consumed the sacrifices. All of this demonstrating God accepted their obedience, their sacrifice, and what they have desired to have, that is fellowship in presence with God, was fulfilled. They wanted it and they got it. They saw his glory. What's the point of all of this? With faith, with obedient faith, comes blessing. And that blessing is the glory of the Lord. I don't want this to be perverted. Sometimes we think with obedience comes a new Ferrari, or a bigger house, or a bigger bankroll, or whatever it is, better health. That's not a gospel. That's a false gospel. With obedience comes the blessing of seeing God's glory. In verse number 4 of this chapter, it says, For the glory of the Lord will appear to you today. In verse 6 it says, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. They wanted the glory of the Lord, and it did. It came. And this is our desire should be our desire today as well. We want to meet with the Lord. We want his glory to appear to us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, now if the ministry that brought death, meaning sacrifices, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites, they could not even steadily look at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit today be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Read there, Jesus. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory that's here. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which is lasts? Remember, the priest offered the sacrifice. The high priest named Jesus offered the sacrifice himself, the lamb, and then he sat down. No more sacrifices. It lasts. But their minds were made dull. For to even this day, some veil remains over their eyes when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ can it be taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. And that's the point, their hearts. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. My friends, that's what every one of us looked for. It's freedom from the bondage of our sin. Freedom from it. You know what a checklist is? It's nothing more than slavery. It's nothing more than making sure you check these boxes and do this and this and this, and then you never know if you're good enough. You never know if it's the right way. You never know if it's better than somebody else, and you never know if you're going to gain favor with God. You just never know. That, my friends, is slavery. But in Christ, He has given us the gift of righteousness, and through that ministry, we are made free. We're freedmen today. Is that not an amazing thing? Because of Jesus, we don't have to pay the spiritual death penalty. We've been released from the power of sin. Because of Jesus. This is what these sacrifices pointed to. This is what chapter 9 is making application in our life. Are we obedient out of faith? My friend, if you've never come to faith in Christ, it's not about your checklist or that way you can earn your righteousness. It's only by trusting what God said. And God said it's only through Christ. And if you come to Him and you have faith in His way, then the veil will be taken off and you will have freedom in Christ. He continues to reveal that glory today. And believers, when we contemplate the glory of God, when we behold and enjoy and pursue the blessings from our union with Christ, the result of the once and for all atonement, the freedom that we have in Christ will change us to be more like Christ because we behold His glory. We will see Him and want more of Him and want to obey and find joy and blessing in that. Maybe one reason your Christian life feels empty, feels unsatisfying, is because you've turned a living relationship into a dead cold checklist where you're in control, where you don't have to walk by faith, and you don't see His beauty in the Word of God. You want to see God's glory, believer friend? It's found in the book, the gospel we call the Bible. It's all through it. Jesus said that the whole book was about Him. How is that going for you? Are you spending time with the Word of God? In the Word of God? With Jesus? The Spirit is the Lord. You're spending the Spirit. You don't do it on your own. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that the Spirit helps you to understand, illuminates, bears witness with your spirit. That's a beautiful relationship, the indwelling Spirit. You can see and savor God. Jesus. So, in conclusion, in summary, we should obey the Lord in our lives. And I'll let you make the application of what that is in your life. Maybe you're walking in disobedience right now. Maybe it's because you haven't seen His glory, or you've divorced yourself from His glory, from being in the Word of God, or maybe you've just never come to faith in the first place. I don't know. But it was always about faith in Him, being obedient to Him, His way, and when we do that, we'll see His glory. Do you want to see His glory? I hope you do. And I hope you're obedient. If you'll take your, just take a moment here, and in the quietness, as perhaps just bow your head and close your eyes. Allison's going to play through one stanza of a song here. And would you just interact with the truth this morning? How's obedience going in your life? Have you relegated to a checklist, thinking you can earn and continue to earn and stay in God's good graces? Have you seen His glory or not?